Well, today is our it's a Sunday that we set aside every year to talk about the ministry. So we kind of call it the ministry day. It is a day where when we do take up our offering, that all the offerings actually go toward the ministry, so that some people, you know, can't do much with the ministries, but we give an opportunity that everyone in our church has an opportunity to give. So today, and you won't have to take it out of the church, your church offering or anything today, so it all accumulates together and goes toward our the ministries that we do have. And folks, we need to remember that we are a blessed church. I'm going to share some of that today. We are a blessed church for sure. We do a lot. I'm going to share with you some things today. We do have a few things, other things happening, but I want to share with you 10 reasons why people ask and or how we are able to do. People ask, how are you able to do what you do at New Life? So I want to try to answer those here today, but I do want to go to Luke chapter 10 for just a moment. I want to share something here with you. I just want to read the story of the Good Samaritan, and we're going to begin there at verse 30. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer. This is a special day for all of us. It is an amazing thing what God has given to us, and I want to share with you that having something that's so big like that, there comes accountability. Accountability to carry what God's given to you is a huge task, and we have to carry that as a church together. And as we carry that, we can't afford to be shipwrecked. We can't afford to run aground. We can't afford not to take what God has given to us seriously. We can't afford attitudes. We can't afford laziness. We can't afford any of those things. What God has given to us is a very important task, and if He called us to it, it's an amazing thing. But I want to go to this parable of the Good Samaritan. But before we do, I do want to pray. Father, Lord, this is Your place. We have what we have because You provided. Father, we have accumulated our group here today, this church. I just pray, Father, Lord, that Your Spirit will move through each heart and each spirit here today, that You would convict those that need to be convicted, encourage those that need to be encouraged, remind those who need to be reminded of what You've done in their lives. And Father, I just pray, Father, that Your Spirit would have Your way today. And I pray, Father, against darkness this morning, that darkness would not prevail here today in anyone's life, but Your light will shine through the darkest of dark. And we give You praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to start here in Luke chapter 10 here. I just want to read this. He says in verse 30, Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. And they stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And in the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will reimburse you for the extra, whatever extra that you spend. This story here that Jesus uses to teach some people that's asking him some questions, but I just want to share a couple of things in here. There are people that are hurting all the time. There are people that are hurting all the time, broken down, whatever in their own life, in their own hearts. They are broken down and they are on some kind of road, whatever that may be. And without Christ, we are just dead men walking anyway. And so what we find out as we see that here that people just kept walking by. People kept walking by. But one man began, he stops and he begins to do what he needs to do. And the scripture said he had compassion. And I'm just praying that our ministries will still continue to have compassion. If your heart gets hard, you need to work on that. You need to work on that. Don't let your compassion drift away. But it says here that he took this man, put him on an animal, and then he took him to an inn. And folks, I just want to remind you, when we're outside these walls here, we should be like the Good Samaritan, helping people where we can. But this church is an innkeeper. This church is an innkeeper. This is where broken people come to us. This is where people have things that they're trying to work through in their lives. And this is where we do what we are supposed to do here. Well, some of those things that we do is just helping people. I want to share with you that we do have a mission statement here. And our mission statement for the ministries is to serve those who are in need of food, shelter, and a purpose-filled life. So basically, we help people with food, the necessities of food, the necessity of those who need a roof over their head and shelter. And also, we'd like to share a purpose of life. And the purpose of life is not what a lot of us think it is. Our purpose of life is not to get my best life now. It's to give my life back to the one who's given me life. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you believe in him or not, that's the way it is. Jesus Christ is the answer to all problems. And he uses and he gives human beings skills to work through things like brain surgery, deep counseling, all the medical things and all the mental things that we are trying to figure out. And I want to tell you that our world is falling apart. It just is. Always coming up with new ideas, always trying to come up with things, and we are struggling more mentally than we had in a long, and we are just struggling in the mental capacity. And the world just keeps coming up with more things and then ends up saying, here, take pills, take pills, take pills, take pills, take pills. When a person surrenders their life to Jesus Christ, change begins to happen. And sometimes we need people, we need help as they come alongside of us. But the problem is we keep pushing Jesus out. And when things go good, we push Jesus out. We only want him in when we're not doing so great. So I want you to maybe go back and reread all this, and you can kind of get some things in there the Lord may show you, the Spirit may show you through these scriptures. But I want to share some things with you today that is going to help us understand a little bit more. Then I want to remind you that God is at work here. Right now we do have a meal ministry. You've known that. Many of you know that since 2007. We have a meal ministry. And it is doing a Thanksgiving meal. It's doing that the day. It's doing the regular. It's doing a Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving. But there is a community meal that is the night before Thanksgiving. We're expected to do 300 to 500 meals that night. That's what we're expecting to do. And if you want to volunteer for that, I don't even think we're taking any volunteers right now because people want to be a part of that. We've got some things for those kind of things all taken care of, I believe. We also have a women's life house. Women's life house started in 2013. It has two houses to it. It's over 300, I would say getting close to the 350 now, 300 to 350 women that we've helped. Have they all come to Jesus? No. Has several of them? Yes. The Lord never tells you to come up with a number. That's his business. He just tells you to do, and we are to be obedient. That's what we do. I want to remind you something, too. There's some things that our Women's Life House has done that I've never heard of any other. Now, when I say some things positive about our ministries, just take it and run with it, and I'll share some things at the end that'll put it together. But even in our women's ministry, I just want to tell you that, Carla has taken... people that don't have their driver's license and puts them in a car and she sits with them and they drive trying to get their hours because you have to have so many hours of daylight driving, so many hours at night to get your driver's license. So we're helping people get their driver's license. What's that got to do with a church? Well, we're a church that helps people at the crossroads. when family abandoned, friends abandoned, got no place to go. We're willing to help. You got to have necessities. You got to have some basic functions in this world. If you want to have, you want to live out that world the way you need to in this world, you got to have a driver's license here. We're not like downtown Chicago. We're not like downtown of Atlanta where you can just jump on a streetcar or a train or whatever it is, the L train in Chicago, whatever it is. No, you got to have a car. You want to get a good job. A lot of times you just got to have a car. So we're helping people get cars or helping people get their driver's license and then helping them save money to get a car. And then we're doing the same thing in the Men's Life House as well. That one opened up in 2021. And 2021 is the day we opened it up, and in January, and we've worked with, I don't know how many men since then, but we've been working with several men since then. I almost think it's around 50 by now. And then we have this Children's Life House. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but the Children's Life House will be open. Trevor and Tabitha, we're going to be praying over them later today. But they are in the house now, and so they'll be able to take children in here soon after a few classes here and doing their thing. And they'll be taking in children that are between the age of 10 and 17, the ones that nobody wants. You see, when I thought we were doing it, we were going to get little ones. And DCS kind of laughed at us, saying, you're not going to get little ones. And so because everybody who's foster care wants the little ones. They all want the babies, so they kind of fight over them. But the older you get, the less that people want those children. And so 10 to 17 is just on the hearts of Trevor and Tabitha. And let me tell you, you don't pick 10 to 17 year olds because you want to or you want to make it work for you. That's just a complete God thing. So these are some things. And we have the old church building across the street. There are some good plans for that as well, because right now in our church, just want to let you know that all those rooms up there, we do have one life group up there, but most of those are starting to fill up with offices. We need the building across the street. We need office space. We just do. We're running out of office space. We're running out of classroom space. And so that is one of the major reasons why we wanted that. Plus the parking. Side note, if you need parking, you can't find parking. That's our church part. That's our old church. You can park across the street over there. Okay, so these are some of the things that God is allowing us to do here. We do have a life recovery addiction group here that meets on Friday at 7:30, but it is a closed group for now. It used to be open, but it is a closed group. Since we've added the men, it just adds more people. So one day we will go to an open, probably a separate group, but right now we are doing a closed group for the people that are in our program. So that's kind of a little bit about what we do. And again, this is a special day, so we're talking about the ministries. But I want to give you 10 reasons why New Life Church has been able to do what it does in New Life Ministries. So that was my pre-part. Now I just want to share 10 things that helps you understand, helps people understand how we are able to do what we do. Number one is because God called us to do these ministries. Number one, God has called us to do these ministries. People say, well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, God gives a way, He gives a vision, and this is what it is to do these functions that we are, these ministries that we're doing. But I want to read in Acts. I'm going to throw out some verses here. You don't have to turn to them. But Acts 13:2 says, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit set apart for me. He says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So basically, here we find out there's a bunch of strong Christian leaders together. So preacher apostles are together. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pull out Paul. I want you to take out Barnabas and separate them from the group. And I want you, they have a special ministry I want them to do. That's exactly what God has done here. That's exactly what God has done here, is to set us apart. Not that we're better, but set us apart in ministry, that we don't do upwards basketball. We don't do some things other churches do. Some churches even do racing. Some churches do other things. But we do what God has set us apart to do. And the gospel should be a part of all those in discipleship. But here we find out, number one is because God's called us to do these ministries. Without God calling us to do these ministries, we would have failed a long time ago. You can't run this on a man. You can't run this on myself. You can't run this on just You can't run it on just on money. You can't run it on charisma. You can't run it on knowledge. You can't run it on a beautiful sound system and lights. And you can't run it off a great praise band. You can't run it off a great preacher. It only runs on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He has called us to do this thing. And if you're a part of it, you're a part of it. You need to be a part of it. Number two, prayer is a major key to this. Prayer is a major key to this. I pray for it every single day. And we have prayer partners. I want to let you know, if you're not praying for your church, you ought to. But I want to let you know, because if you have a gap in your life, in your prayer life, I say thank you, Lord, that I have people. We have people in Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and other places across Arkansas. We have places all across this country that continue to pray. This morning, I got to pray. Every Sunday, I get a piece of people. There's 10 or 12 pastors that are praying for us in Indiana. But I also get a text message, and I got it this morning, praying for you, Pastor Jimmy, and the church. Every Sunday morning. You don't do it, we got people that will. God will find a way. Let me tell you, prayer is not the least thing you can do. It's the most important thing you can do. Because think about it. It's easy to give your tithes. It's hard to find the time to pray. Come on now, we in the church now? It's easy to cut that check. But to find some time and give it to the Lord and start praying, that's the hard part. Because he's going to say, I heard what you got to say for yourself, but how are you going to pray for others? And that's when it gets hard. Because he's going to reveal the things that's in your heart. He's going to say, listen, I want to talk about the thing and the hardness that you have towards someone. And it's going to start, he's going to start working that. So I just want to let you know that prayer is a major key to what we're able to do here. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, he says, therefore I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. This is not prosperity saying, hey, get your best life now. This is where you say, when we're praying, and we're praying for finances, and when our finances get down to $1,000, we've been there, even into the hundreds, and it's a $7,000 a week budget. I want to tell you this. I've not come to you and asked anybody here to cut a check, but I'll tell you who I do go to. And I have been down here several times praying right here about, Lord, we don't have it, but I know that you do. And we'll talk about that. But that whole prayer piece there, over decisions, we pray over decisions that we do, and for his will to be done, not our will, but for his will to be done. And prayer partners are a key. Prayer partners are a key. Sometimes when you want to pray about something, you are just, you know, in your own life, that you are just vented. You are empty. You're exhausted. And you're like, I want to pray, but I don't even have the energy to pray. Let me tell you, praying, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of work. It draws from you. And there's a battle for you, a battle about you to pray. But there's also a battle on another side pulling you not to pray. And praying, thank God that we have prayer partners. And I pray that you are a strong prayer partner as well. Number three, how do we keep this thing going? We have a committed staff, volunteers, and financial partners. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God knew more about the ministry. He knew all about the ministries before we even heard about them. He had a plan. He chose us. And here it is. We have good. And that doesn't make our staff is perfect, our volunteers are perfect, or all of our financial partners are perfect. You know, we mail out. Did anybody get a mail out this week? Had a little envelope in it? A couple years ago, I got letters back. I got emails back saying, listen, you know, that whole thing about if you feed a person a fish, he eats today. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. No, thank you. Keep your mail. We have those things. We've had those things before. I'm thinking, man, it took you a lot of effort just to write that. You wrote that in anger. You wrote that in disappointment. And I go, I pray for that person because God may show them that they need to learn what it needs to be humble. The next thing you know, their financial account may drop. But our volunteers are all over the place. We have a lot of volunteers from all over different places. We're probably the only church that I know of that gives keys and pass keys and pass codes and digit numbers just to get into the meal ministry. There are so many churches that have keys to our ministries. Most churches are so protective they wouldn't let anybody else have a key. And you know, back in the day, some of you know that the churches used to just be open. Yep. So we got some in here that know that age. So the churches used to just be open. But now we have to lock them up. But we have volunteers all over the place. And I can tell you this, I don't even know all the volunteers. I go down to the mail ministry and I walk in the back door. Who are you? It's okay. I'm okay with that. They're checking out, seeing who's coming in. And I'm thankful for them. We have a staff that has committed. Someone's given a lot to be a part of our ministries. Given up a lot. Given up a lot. We saw some that given up careers, given up their homes to do these ministries. Let me tell you, and God will find a way, and He's doing it right here with some of our people. I'm so amazed with that. And financial partners. We've had people that have cut checks and cut ministry, just gifts from, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. Isn't that great? That's amazing what God has done with that. So how are we able to do this? We have a strong, committed staff. We have strong, committed volunteers and prayer partners. Number four is we see God as our ultimate supplier. Even though we have all those prayer partners, we have the financial partners and all of our staff, we know that God is our ultimate supplier. Like when we're short on funds, I don't come and ask you to cut a check. I'm not going to beg anybody. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the one that has it all because I know this. Why would I want to go to somebody even if he was a millionaire or a billionaire? Why would I go to him when I can go to God who owns even what that man has? And I know this. If God calls us to do something, He's going to make it work, isn't He? Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He's going to supply it. He's been supplying it ever since day one. Ever since day one, He has supplied this church with all that it has needed. He has done that. Listen, I go to these conferences. I go and I talk to pastors. I talk to stake and, I just talk to a lot of pastors. And I understand that, Like a friend of mine said, hey, I asked him how things were going. Yeah, we need to raise like $1.3 million, and we want to do this addition, but if we don't get it, if we don't have the commitment by this week, I'm not seeing anything negative, but that's, I don't work that way. But he says, if we don't have it by this weekend, we don't have the promises, then we're just going to change it and we're going to do something else. I'm different than that. I say, if God wants it, he'll make a way. And the first time I get a no doesn't mean I'm going to quit. He says, in Romans 12, let me see, he says, we serve the Lord with love in our hearts. If we lose love here, then we've lost it. And some of us need to work on that. But we need to know that we serve love. This is what people ask me. They say, well, we serve love. We have love in our hearts for people and for the Lord. Romans 12:11 says this, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. But another version says this, don't be lazy, but always work hard for the Lord. Work for the Lord with all your heart, full of love for Him. We do this not for ourselves. We do this for Him. Amen? We don't do this for ourselves. We do that because He has called us to do that. And that's what I share with other guys and other men in ministry. Why you guys do? How can you do it? One, I'll just say this. We just do it because we love the Lord. He's called us to do this and we do it with love. And number six, we do this by sharing the gospel as a part of the ministries. Sharing the gospel has to be a part of it or it doesn't work. Sharing the gospel has to be a part of what we do here. And even folks here today, I would say this, some of us still don't know what the gospel is. Because we have problems understanding the gospel. We put our own thoughts in it. We put our own ideas in it. Something that we believed in the past still creeping in. I want to remind you that Jesus and Satan are not brothers. I've heard that again here. They are not brothers. Jesus is the Son of God, an angel, and Satan is a rebellious fallen angel that God created. We have a lot to learn here, folks. It amazes me that God's doing what He does here because we got to get biblical. We got to get biblically smarter. We just do. Satan is trying to have a heyday in some of your lives. I know you come to me, you talk to me about it. It's a lot of junk going on. But that's what happens when you're out there trying to do what God wants you to do. We get these spiritual attacks. We get these things that are happening. And the gospel is the number one thing. Once a person receives salvation, they receive eternal life. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They become engrafted in part of the family of God. Number seven, I'll say this, faith is a must. We must have faith here. We have to have faith here. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." There is a peace that you must have faith in Jesus Christ. You must have faith in God. And here in these ministries, we must have faith in him. Folks, that's why people have come and left this church, because they don't understand. You need to have this committee. You need to have that committee. That committee sits there and puts it up, and then this committee endorses. And this committee gives it all the say-sos and no-sos. And this committee brings it to the church, and the church votes on it. Listen, 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 listen. If somebody's telling me that Jesus and Satan are brothers, I don't want them making any decision in this church. We are held accountable at a higher level than the President of the United States, because we are not accountable for a country. Listen to me now. We are accountable for souls. You can switch country. You can switch citizenships, but that doesn't mean anything spiritually. It's about the soul of an individual. And we're about the souls of an individual. You can't go in and beat someone up at the meal ministry because they're using, or they're in some kind of alcohol addiction, or they're homeless, or they're doing this, or they've done some crimes or whatever. You can't beat people up that come into the church that's looking pretty rough, or they might even smell. We need to stop that. We got to say, listen, God is bringing brokenness. This is what we were talking about, the Good Samaritan. God is bringing broken people here. And if he says, you won't take care of them, I'll send them somewhere else. Because he still loves them. And when we push them away, we're not loving them. We're pushing them away. We're going to have to take some more hits. We're going to have to take some more cuts. And that's okay, because if we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's done way more and taken more and way more than we've ever will and ever have. So faith is a must. And all these things you apply to your own life. Faith is a must here at New Life Ministries. Number 8. We never said quit. We're not quitting. There's no room to quit. There's no time to quit. I can't quit. You can't quit. But there are people that do quit. And when they walk away, they'll walk away. And they'll either walk away for 2 reasons. One, they don't like it, and they want church their way. Number 2, they walked away because they're living in sin. Sin will keep you away from the Lord. Amen? Living unrighteously and have iniquity in your heart, it'll turn you away from the Lord. We can't quit. We've come too far. There's been a cost of doing all of this. There's been a cost. There's been a cost. If you know our staff, there is no 9 to 5 here. Everybody on this staff is on call. Everyone is on call. Because emergencies don't have a time schedule. Sometimes we have to tell people they can come at this time or that time. We do have schedules. But I will tell you, the phones ring all through the night and on the weekends. We are not going to quit. Number 9. God has done so many things here. And you can see sometimes they want to put my name or my picture in a state thing, or they want to talk about it at the national convention or whatever, or national pieces. That's okay. But here's what we say. We boast in the Lord. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to say, that's what Jesus did. That's what the Lord did. We don't boast in ourselves. We boast only in the Lord. We only boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31 says, "Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many were wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. So that no one may boast in his presence, it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So we're going to boast in the Lord about what we do here. That's it. It's not about Jimmy's church or Jimmy's this or Phil's this or Carla's that. It is about boasting and bragging on what Jesus is doing. It is about that and nothing else. God has chosen a group of individuals. That's us. It doesn't look like we would be the church to be able to do what God's called us to do. But he has chosen us. Not because we're awesome, not because we got it together, not because we're very talented or a bunch of high educated religious doctors here or theologians here. No, he has pulled those things which it says, not many were wise, not many powerful, not of many of noble birth. But instead, listen, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Business will look at us and even churches, other churches will look at us and say, huh, you're going to amount to nothing. Do you know, and I've shared this in our first couple of weeks, first couple of months in New Life, when New Life was becoming a church, there were several people that said, you're not going to make it. New Life isn't going to make it a year. Well, that's what would happen if we would have leaned on ourselves. Your wife's not going to make it. She's no pastor's wife. You're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. Then I had another individual say this. You can't grow a church. You can't pay your bills with poor people. Listen, I've heard a lot. We've been cut a lot. I keep you from hearing a lot of it. But today, for this reason, I'm sharing with you. You know what? They can keep their thoughts. I'm going to say, sir, that's your opinion. But I'm telling you, we're going to keep doing what the Lord has us to do. Have a great day. I'm going to go on. I'm not going to let that person speak into my life. They said something doesn't mean it's going to go in one ear. Holy Spirit says, get that out of here. That's not a part of what I'm doing with you. And then focus upon what we're trying to do here. We're going to do that, and we're going to give God the glory. I had another person say, what are you guys trying to do over there? Trying to make a Jonestown? I went to a pastor's lunch one time, and they came in and said, here comes the Baptist Holy Roller. I'm reminded that they called Jesus names too. They threw stones at Stephen. They martyred. They killed all the disciples, all the apostles, except John. They put John in prison. They're doing those things. Did those things, and then they annihilated and put the Christians into the Colosseum for sport. They did all those things, and even all the way up to today, they're still persecuting Christians. But we're going to boast in the Lord. Amen. And number 10 is we have the idea, we have the focus. I have my eye on the finish line. I have my eye on the finish line. When I first started, I look at life as like a big racetrack, one big oval track. And when I first started, I was coming about a round turn right there between turn one and turn two. And I felt like I had this long stretch. That's in my rearview mirror now. I'm coming around. I'm in between now turn three and turn four. You know what I'm doing? I'm hearing from a distance. I can hear the crowd saying, keep on running. The Bible says in Hebrews that there's a great cloud of witnesses. They say, keep on running. So young people in their 20s don't always grasp that. I didn't really grasp it either until I got some gray hair. And then I found out over the last couple of days at a conference that I got a lot less weeks to live than what I've already lived. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Keep on coming. Keep coming. Keep doing. Keep serving. Number 10, we want to finish well. At New Life, we want to finish well. Matthew 25, 21 says, well done, the good and faithful servant. Amen? The 2 Timothy 4, 5, Paul is telling Timothy, listen, I'm going to give you some good advice because he knows his time is coming. He says, but as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure the hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. What was he saying? Finish the ministry. Finish your time. Finish your time. Folks, we at New Life, we're working, I think, it's about as hard as we can work. We work as an understaffed group, trying to push some things together. We do have that consultant that's helping us with some things. We're trying to do some of those things, implement some of those things, because we know that we can become better. We know that we can get better at what we do. And then the Lord decides to pluck someone out. He's plucking Phil and Ashley out to go start a church plant. Does that make any sense for a church our size? No. But it also doesn't make sense that we have so many pastors either. God has a plan. Listen, I want to tell you, I've been part of New Life for a long time. I've been part of a few other churches as well in my life. And I want to tell you, I know a lot of pastors. I know a lot, been in a lot of churches, preached in a lot of churches. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to say it like this. It don't get no better than this to what God is doing. But I'm only talking about what God is doing. I'm not talking about what I'm doing. I'm not talking about what any of you are doing. I'm talking about what He's doing. God has shown His hand. We are without excuse, folks. And this is what scares me. Y'all been very quiet today. This is what scares me. If we don't have a joyful heart in doing what we do, I'm afraid He just might yank it and say, you are not grateful. I've never been in a place where God has moved so much. Now, there are certain things I want Him to move in more in other areas, but I just see what God is doing. I also never seen a place where Satan has moved so much. But where you have the movements of God and you have people trying to draw to God, you'll also have Satan trying to keep people from going, keep people from moving toward God. You'll have that. And you'll have that. And we have that a lot. And we don't want to focus on, they make that our primary focus. Our primary focus is loving people where they are, sharing the gospel, showing compassion. And we do it through these ministries. And we're going to keep doing it in these ministries. But it's hard to get excited about ministries when our hearts aren't right. It's hard to get excited about what something else is going, that God's moving to someone else when we have sin in our life. It's hard to get ecstatic and excited about one family where God is working when you're going through what you're going through. But that's where you have to understand and know that we need to grow in the Lord to experience the power of His Scripture. It is amazing to me that people still think in this community that we are a church of 200 to 300. And you can see today we're not even at 100 today. I am very excited about what God is still doing here. But our church has to move forward. We are the ones that are not moving forward. God is moving forward. He keeps going up. And He has to keep coming back, picking this up. Going up, some people say, God is so patient. He's so long-suffering. Takes forever for God. Listen, God is doing things on a regular basis. Young people, I want to challenge you. You're under 30. I want to challenge you. Get in the Word. You're probably on social media maybe more than most. Get in the Word. Everything you read and see on social media is not true. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Salvation belongs to God, and He gives it to us through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And we need to start sharing that with others, which is in the future here. But I want to share with you again that New Life Ministries is God-given. It's God-birthed, God-given. It's God-sustained, and it's God-driven. And if God is doing all those things, then we have to be closer to God, which means we have to be closer to Christ. For when much is given, much is acquired. When much has been asked for, much more will be demanded. And God has given us a lot, and He's telling us we need to step it up in our relationship with Christ, in our discipleship. I want to come to a place where I want you to think about our meal ministry, our women's, our men's, and this children's life house as well. I want to ask that we would come to this place. Well, let's just go ahead and stand. I know we still got that, but we're going to stand here. We're going to open up the altar for you to come. If you want to pray over our ministries, your ministries, these ministries,